Hello and welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 19th year. I'm your host, Jess Marquez, and our guest today is Stuart Hunter, Managing Director of Clarion Gaming, to talk about all things ICE 2024, including the exhibitor breakdown and speaker lineup, the ICE Gives You More campaign, and the send-off plans for what will be the final show in London. For now. Today's GGB podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, which empowers gaming institutions to create an enhanced patron experience with a complete suite of integrated payment solutions that enable safe, secure, and trusted cash access at the cage, on the casino floor, or online. Learn more at pavilionpayments.com. For decades, gaming industry reps, pundits, movers, and shakers have flocked to London in early February for the annual ICE show. This year's edition, spearheaded by Clarion Gaming Managing Director Stuart Hunter, promises to be the biggest and boldest yet before the show ultimately sets sail for beautiful Barcelona in 2025. Hunter and I spoke via Zoom in December. Stuart, thank you so much for joining me here today. How are you doing today, sir?
Yeah, I'm great, Jess. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity to speak to you. Hope things are good with you.
Nope, it's good. It's good. It's early morning here in Los Angeles. What's the scene there in London today?
It is, what do we know? It's just gone about 3 p.m. As anyone knows that's been in London this time of year, it's slowly starting to get dark. It's dark about 4:30. So it's feeling, well, this time of year is feeling festive at least. So you don't mind those sort of darkness. And but we're in quite a good festive mood here because we're about to do our Christmas party as the wider Clarion group. So everyone's sort of still busy, obviously, with ICE coming up, but we tend to kind of work our schedule. So a lot of the big bulky work has been done now, and then it's just kind of pushing on over the next sort of 7 days before we have a quick respite. We hit the bench for a week, and then we're back fully fledged from early January to get the show over the line. So yeah, we're in good spirits. Thank you.
Is it? Are you guys in the full clutches of winter just yet?
Do you know what we had a week about 2 weeks ago where we had a really sort of cold snap, but outside of that it's been mild. You know, we get a mix of sun and some cold some days, otherwise it's that stereotypical kind of gray, not cold, not warm type weather. So yeah, it's been quite wet, I guess, is the only slight annoying thing, but no, it's fine. It's not really cold yet. Bit of snow in the north of England, but nothing down in London.
Beautiful. So obviously, we're here today to talk about all things ICE. I have a couple overarching, you know, kind of bigger picture topics, and then some obviously details about this year's show, or I should say next year's show. But the first, I want to start obviously kind of with the big news. So obviously, it was announced last year that ICE will be, in 2025, it will be moving to Barcelona, meaning that this will be the last, well, probably not the last ever, but, you know, at least for now, will be the last ICE in London. You know, obviously, I'm sure every year is crazy putting everything together, but kind of what has it meant this year, knowing that it'll be kind of the almost the send off, if you will, into the sunset?
Yeah, I think that, look, certainly post COVID, when the world, the gaming industry and the exhibition industry has kind of gone through its recovery period, you know, we've really looked at all areas of what we try and do with our live events, and ICE is no different. And so I feel like we've put everything under a lens over the last couple of years to really kind of enhance and focus on what we do for the industry. And this year is no different. We ran a great show in earlier on this year in 23, and it broke a lot of records. So we're competitive upon ourselves really to make sure that we try and better that. So that is obviously keeping a huge amount of the team super busy. And I think we're on track to have a very memorable event, even its sort of standalone status. But as you said, there is a kind of a special touch on it, and the fact that it will be certainly for the foreseeable future the last one in London. And I don't know if you know some of the history of it, but ICE in its various forms, and originally it was ATE, which was more around the amusements part of the industry back here in the UK, and that was launched in 1936.
Wow.
So it's been around a long time, and obviously it's grown and developed and changed a lot during that tenure. And I think most people, certainly if you've been in the industry the last 10 years, would have seen its migration from Earl's Court in West London out east to XL. And really, that's kind of when the casino industry, or the representation of the casino industry in ICE, really took hold, and the show grew a lot. And then in more recent memory, the online sector really has kind of grabbed hold of ICE, and it's grown and developed. So it's had a really really exciting journey. It's had a hugely memorable time here in the UK. We will be doing lots of little soft touch points throughout the show to mark all of those things, not at the expense of the day-to-day business end of ICE. ICE is a, hopefully for a lot of people, a fun experience. It's a social experience from a networking perspective. But first and foremost, ICE is a place where the world of gaming business goes to do business. So we'll get all the business done. We'll provide all of the opportunities for that to happen. But we will obviously not ignore the opportunity to give a nod to London, and thank London and UK for its home for the last 86 years, whilst also passing the baton on over to Barcelona, which we're hugely excited about. So lots of little secrets up our sleeve. But yeah, it's going to be memorable.
Well, I definitely can't wait to see it. And correct me if I'm wrong, but just for clarification purposes, it's a 5-year contract for Barcelona.
Yes, correct. Yeah,
Okay.
correct. So when we went through the process, really for us to move a show the size and scale of ICE, we didn't want to commit to anywhere for a year or two, because it's, in all honesty, it's too much work to do something and keep migrating it around. And that's not just work for us as organizers, it's work for all the exhibitors. The amount of planning that goes into the complexity of moving equipment in and out and building complex stands, etc. That's a huge amount of work, and nobody wants to keep having a change of location every year or two, because it's tough. So not only that was a contributing factor, but also by us committing to a longer period, it's going to help lay our roots quite quick. And we've got deep roots here in the UK, for the history I've just talked about, but enabling us to kind of find a new partner for the industry and say, look, we're making a commitment to be here for a significant proportion of time, really is going to enable the best platform for the industry to kind of find its new home. So with the city of Barcelona, they've opened their arms to ICE, they've opened their arms to the industry. We've made a commitment to be there for that amount of time, and that really is what's going to kind of generate the biggest opportunities, I think, as we migrate there in 25. So it's a process that we went through, and I think we're definitely seeing the spoils of really what the opportunities by building a longer term relationship are going to be for every single participant of ICE. So we're excited for that.
Certainly, certainly. I want to kind of touch on you personally a little bit, because this will be your this upcoming show will be your fourth ICE as managing director. What have been some of the lessons learned over that time, and kind of what do you think that experience year after year contributes to putting together something like as complex as this?
Well, I think, yeah, it'll be the fourth ICE that I've kind of had ownership of, myself and the team. But I've been in the wider Clarion business for 18 years, so I've been around large scale events for a long, long time, and obviously been to ICE many times without being connected with it, in terms of my obligations in the business here. So I've seen ICE when it was at Earl's Court, seen it as it moved across to XL, always admired it. And I think when I had the opportunity to come across and start to kind of look into and build in the world of gaming, for me, what I loved about it, not just as an industry, but as an event, is, it's still, it's the entertainment industry, it's the tech industry, it's all those exciting progressive things. And I think, we work hard to help facilitate a platform for that. But you see what the industry creates at ICE. We provide them a canvas for that. But you see the level of ingenuity and the tech and the stand build, the design, the creativity. That's why I was ultimately attracted to kind of take on this opportunity. And not that I would have predicted it would be as quite as I'm going to say turbulent. Turbulent sounds a bit negative, and it hasn't been negative, but it's been challenging, I should say, because we managed just about to get the 2020 show away right before the world locked down. And then during that period, we had a lot of soul searching to do, both from supporting the gaming industry, but also from our industry too, in terms of live events. It was largely illegal to run live scale event large scale events during that time. So it was a real tough moment for the industry, and certainly a tough moment for our business. But you know, we had to really work hard to keep things moving forward. So that was challenging. But the way I reflect on that in many respects is that it gave me personally an opportunity to fast track quite a lot of relationships with the industry, because ordinarily you get caught in the kind of fast pace, tight schedule of running an event, you know, week by week, week, month by month. But we had an opportunity where we weren't running shows, where we could just spend time with our customers. And I think if you weren't using Zoom or Teams or any of those digital channels before lockdown, you certainly were. That's all you were doing really during that period. So we just spent a lot of time reaching out and speaking to customers. And I had an opportunity to fast track some of those conversations that might have taken 12, 18 months on a normal cycle to kind of get a lot of those relationships built up over 6 months. So I valued that time. It enabled me to listen. And I think we really value, we put that at the forefront of how we run ICE and we run our shows, is, you know, it's customer led. You know, we do what the industry wants, and we listen and we act on that. So we did that through that process. We had that challenging period where we were, you know, we launched the event back in 2022, when parts of the industry were ready to come back and run a trade show, and the other parts of the industry were not ready, and we respected that. We pushed on with running a show for the proportion of the market that wanted it, because it wasn't so much a need. They were telling me personally and our wider team that they needed an event to happen. So we put that event on, and I think for every component part that attended that event or exhibited at that event, it was a huge success. And then thankfully the conditions improved and we were able to run this year a full scale ICE again, which was all sectors, all geographies, all back in recovery mode. And that's where we broke all records really. And I think that was very satisfying for everybody that was part of that journey, both from an industry perspective, but anyone connected with the ICE brand. To kind of, you know, to get to that point where live was back, ICE was back, and our exhibitors and attendees were reporting their most effective and enjoyable show ever. That made all those dark moments in the last few years around COVID as particularly challenging, really, or as definitely worth it. So it has been a really interesting journey. And then off the back of that, the migration plan to Barcelona. So it's been dynamic to say the least, but I guess what I've hoped I've shown, or we've shown as a wider business and a team, is that we, you know, we are customer centric. We've listened to our customers, and the whole kind of migration opportunity was driven from a customer need, really, that didn't just originate during COVID, but had been around for many years prior to that. And I think that kind of COVID moment gave both parties the opportunity to talk about it more, and then we made a decision that we'd listened and we needed to act on it, and that's why we conditioned that opportunity to explore it properly. So it's been super dynamic. We've learned a huge amount, but I'm pretty confident that we've come out of the back of it as an organization closer to our customers, fitter than we've ever been before, and I think. Hopefully people will experience in ICE in February 24, delivering the best versions of kind of connections and live experiences that people can find. Yeah, we're in a good position, and I wouldn't change any of the last few years, even though it was obviously mixed with lots of challenges.
Well, that's super interesting for me personally to hear directly from the source, because it almost makes me feel a little bit spoiled, because you know, last year was my first year that I was able to go, and it was like, I feel like I just skipped all that. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, I had a great show. Everything looked great. But obviously, knowing the back end and the history behind it makes me feel a little bit more grateful, I have to admit. But yeah, I can attest, you know, having gone, been, you know, my first experience being last year, I can say definitively that it was definitely very, very big and grand. And you guys definitely did a hell of a job.
That's good. Well, you know, the gaming industry is not exclusive to that. Now all major industries that operate in a face-to-face environment were going through a similar journey, a similar pain, and I'm very grateful for the support of the industry to really make that 23 show a grand return. And like I said, we contribute to a big part of that, But like, you know, we create and we facilitate that platform, but it's the brands that really make the show come alive. And I think they put everything into the 23 show to say, look, we're back, the industry's back, we are either in good recovery or we have recovered. So that just, you know, it makes it all the more satisfying to be operating in an industry as exciting as the gaming industry. And I think I'm excited to see what everyone brings to the party in February when we've had a full kind of 12 months after the last show we've run. So hopefully you get yourself to the next one, and it'll be a step up from what you experienced this year early on.
Well, I certainly hope so. I'm certainly looking forward to it. So I want to kind of move over to some details about this upcoming show, and we'll kind of go a little, kind of run through them. But I want to start with the creative kind of, the slogan for this year, "Ice gives you more," is new. Kind of just if you kind of give us a little background on that and why you guys picked that and kind of what you think it embodies.
Yeah, we put a lot of time and resource into our campaigns. We think it's super exciting. It's an important part of it. It's not, you know, that certain trade show industries can be quite a matter of fact in terms of how they present the show each cycle. Whereas, you know, we feel a duty of care for the creativity of the industry to make sure that ICE represents that. So, you know, the more campaign follows our Stronger Together campaign in 2023. Before that was Together Never Felt So Good in 22, and before that was Step Into the Future. So we select the themes, what we believe are sort of based on the mood of the industry, and kind of what we see as the understanding and dominant themes. And as ICE is such an international event which attracts so many visitors, we tend to make sure our kind of messaging has an element of simplicity for it, because not everyone speaks English. So the more campaign, really, off the back of the slightly more emotive campaigns that we've done recently, which were really about gathering people back together again, which I'm pleased to say the human nature is that you can't beat face to face. So that's a great thing, and I think we touched on that with the previous campaigns. But our more campaign now, really, for 24 is, you know, we've drawn a line under previous campaigns, previous years. Now it's about looking forward, and the more element refers to both quantitative and qualitative outcomes that we expect our visitors and, I guess, our exhibitors to receive as a result of attending ICE. It's not just about volume of sort of more exhibitors, more visitors, more innovations, etc. It's about product launches, it's about connections, it's about features, it's about insight, opportunities that we create. You know, hopefully what we expect is every single touch point, you're feeling that there's more, and like I said, not just in terms of the volume of things, but you're getting more out of it, because we put a huge emphasis on developing all of those key areas. So we thought a simple four-letter word of MORE describes the opportunities that we are anticipating to create in 24. So that in a very brief, you know, it took us longer than that to kind of end up with that creative, but hopefully that kind of gives you some behind the scenes on how we arrived at that.
Well, if I've learned anything as a writer in my career, it's that shorter is more difficult for sure. So distilling something down like that is definitely more challenging than it seems. So I give you credit on that. So I want to kind of touch on the conference program a little bit. Obviously, it's a key element of any trade show, especially in gaming. It's always a huge part. Kind of what is kind of the shape and scope? Are there any overarching themes that you guys were kind of looking at when you put together this year's conference program?
I think we've had this validated from some industry professionals that have no direct connection to Plarium or the ICE brand, but just some feedback we've received, which has come back in terms of what they've seen on paper, in terms of the spread and the mix of content for the 24 show. I think it's probably the best we've done. Certainly the best I've seen in the 4 years that I've had tenure. And I think the team here are really at a point now where we are really pushing boundaries, because, you know, there's a lot of access to content in the gaming media, and you know, there's a huge amount of events now globally. You could probably attend an event every couple of times a month if you wanted to. So there's a lot of content that's accessible. But for Icebox, we try and Well, I think really it's the only place where we bring all the component parts together. You know, we have the world regulatory briefing, which really kind of ICE brings the biggest selection of regulators to any live event globally, and that really is a kind of a key part of the kickoff of the IceVox campaign on that first Monday. We obviously ICE is hugely dedicated to the land-based industry, so we have our International Casino Conference on that day as well. But then in terms of sort of tech and innovation moving forward, we've launched our esports betting conference as well this year, which is really something that we've explored in the last couple of years as a sort of separate entity, but we've made it certainly more gaming and gambling related this time around, and that seems to be very well received. So there's those kind of main three platforms, and then you've got our deep dive practical workshops, and that's something that we explored during COVID of how do we change the proposition to make it easier, more accessible, not necessarily take everyone's time, because the content always in some respects competes a little bit with the trade show floor. We don't want to take people off the trade show floor if they've got a lot of business and connections to do. So we make it a little bit more accessible for people to choose the subjects that they really want to learn from. So the multitude of workshops that we've got is something that people can participate in for 2, 3, 4 hours in the day, and then kind of pick up the networking or the trade show floor element of it. So I think what we try and create is that whatever level you are in gaming, it's unmissable. And you know, we this might be overstating our claim, but I hope it's not. But we see IceVox as the Davos of gaming, in the sense that it really is. It does bring those global influences and thought leaders and policymakers together in one annual event, and I do think in a sea of competitive content opportunities, as I mentioned before, I do believe ICE is the only platform where we gather together that full mix and that wide mix of influences, really. So, you know, we've got a great cast this year of talent that are going to be in IceVox, and we've got, you know, MGM Resorts CEO and President Bill Hornbuckle. He's in attendance. Simon Thomas, Executive Chair of the Hippodrome in London. We've got Isabelle Falk-Pierre-Roquelin, who's the chair of both the French Gambling Authority and GREF. We've got Vice President of IAGA. We've got the UK's Gambling Commission. We've got the UK's former Attorney General and Culture Secretary. You know, I could go on this huge list. Rather than swallow up time on your podcast, I would just recommend get on the ICE website, have a look at the multitude and spread and mix of content. Hopefully, it's easily accessible in the Vox program. And look, let us know if you think there's something missing. I really don't think there is. I think what we're trying to do as well is make the content at the point where it's really challenging. We want panel conversations that are challenging, not sugar-coated. And we've really tried to do that this year. We want healthy debate in our conference suites. We don't want handshakes and high fives and you know, kind of delivering on a level of expectation. This is a moment where we really want to get in the thick of it, test some things, explore some things, so that every person that attends the conference comes out feeling energized by what they've heard, either with something practical or a conversation point around how the industry is evolving. So we're really excited for it. It's the first thing that kicks off alongside ICE. And I think there's a real prospect, an exhilarating prospect really, that we've got, and it complements really what every gaming professional will experience at ICE. So I definitely recommend getting on the website and checking that out.
Definitely, for sure. And having, you know, gone to obviously last year's show and been through a lot of the sessions, I can vouch that it was definitely very well put together, and I would expect nothing less this year. So kind of now kind of moving to the other side of the show, obviously the exhibitor part. Speaking of worldwide representation and, you know, the biggest names, you guys also obviously attract the biggest worldwide audience on the exhibitor side. Kind of just generally speaking, kind of what are you expecting from this year's exhibitor list? And specifically, you know, you had mentioned iGaming before. Where are we at in terms of, you know, at this point in time, is there like a specific percentage or a split between, you know, the land-based and the iGaming exhibitors, or kind of where are we at with that?
Yeah, I think that I remember when I first joined, I came across there was the industry reaching out, and they see new names and faces taking ownership of ICE, and everyone wants to make sure that the sector they're operating in is still relevant in ICE. And there was very much a conversation point of, what's your direction with ICE? Is it going to be more online? Is that the direction you're going? And for us, it's never really a direction that we specify. It's really a representation of what's happening in the industry. And we always had a kind of an internal reference point pre-COVID, which was ensuring the event remains a kind of a healthy split, so 50% predominantly online and 50% land-based. But I think that's less relevant now than it was before, because I believe the industry has become much more omnichannel. I certainly know all the major big customers that we work with that were predominantly land-based now have an online presence. So as much as the mix we're very conscious of, and I think that's something that we apply to all our shows at Clarion, but certainly ICE, is really making sure that product mix represents the industry and that product mix matches what our attendees and our buyers want to see. If they want more of a particular product or service or sector, then it is our duty to find that. If there is too much of a certain product and sector, then we will make our kind of aims to reduce that slightly and make sure that it's kind of covered elsewhere. So that whole product mix is driven by customer need. It is driven by what's happening in the industry. So, I think when we ran the show in 23 earlier on this year, we had the big, which most people would predominantly associate with big land-based companies back. And obviously, they didn't attend in 22 because they were most impacted really with the kind of closure of casinos and that business being a little slower than the online side of the industry, but also their logistics. These are the guys that are bringing huge amounts of equipment in, 200, 300, 400 members of staff, and there was quite obviously a nervousness of traveling and logistics and bringing staff still when COVID was hanging around a little bit in 22. They're all back in 23, which is great, but all those customers now have multi-channel businesses. So I think the mix is there. I think whatever sector you represent, you will see everybody, I believe, almost everybody that you would expect to see there. And hopefully you discover a ton of new and emerging talent, emerging tech, startups, all of those things. So we're on course to be totally full again, which the 23 show was. And I think across all those sectors, there is something for everybody. So there is a healthy mix.
Well, it's funny. I've joked with my editorial colleagues for the last 6 months or so that the new words or the words of the year are omnichannel and integration. So I would expect nothing less moving forward again in 24, that's for sure. I want to talk a little bit about the Landmark Awards. If for those who aren't familiar, could you kind of go into the process of that and how, the honorees are selected and so forth?
Yeah, the Landmark Awards is something that ICE has represented for many years, actually. And when I came in to manage the live events business for gaming, you look at everything that pre-exists and you go, is anything kind of, do we need to, what are the areas we need to freshen up, and what are the absolute things that are must stays? And Landmark Awards was one of those obvious things, which is, it carries a lot of credibility in the industry. It's something that people really appreciate, and it's different. It's not an awards thing where we have different categories and people put an application in and there's a grand ceremony. This really is a small, intimate awards that runs at ICE, and it's based really on nominations from the industry. And really, look, the term landmark hopefully does it a good summary, but it's any recommendation or achievement from a company or an individual that has kind of represented some mark of initiative. So either some huge statement of an anniversary. So if you're a business and you've just, for example, achieved your 50th year, then that's something we want to recognize with a Landmark Award. If you're someone that's done a 40-year career in gaming and had an incredible CV of making an impact and a contribution to the gaming industry, then that's something we want to recognize at the event. So the awards are inspired by I guess the show status on the world stage, and we want to make sure that we recognize a global industry and provide a platform where we can celebrate its own kind of historic events, really. The last couple of years we've had landmark awards for long service milestones, company anniversaries, contributions to journalism, specific initiatives undertaken around environmental or DE&I, et cetera, or charity fundraising or safer gambling initiatives. So it's really broad, but we get recommendations from the industry, and if we feel that it's a real kind of milestone and represents a landmark, then they get on the list. That's pretty much how it works, and that could be. It could be a front desk employee at the Bellagio who's worked there for 45 years. For us, that's a landmark achievement, and we will represent that. So we ask the industry to say, look, share with us any of these moments, any of these milestones, because we can't have ears and eyes everywhere. We are reliant on the industry to help us shape these up. We have a small amount, maybe just sort of 10, 12 awards that we like to give out. But yeah, we ask the industry to share those milestones with us, so that really helps.
Well, I think that's beautiful, and candidly, as somebody more towards the beginning of their career, I definitely look up to and admire these people who have put in many more years than I. I definitely have a lot of appreciation for that, and also for obviously you guys honoring them as well. I think is great. I have one more for you, and I want to get you out of here on this. And again, thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
No pleasure.
So your guys' relationship with the European Casino Association has always been a cornerstone of the show. Is that going to be continued this year, and kind of what will that look like?
Yeah, so we have had and we do have a long-term relationship with the ECA. It's one of our key partners, I would say, and it has been for, gosh, well over a decade. And we certainly believe that is going to continue for many years to come. And I think, we always surround ourselves or endeavor to surround ourselves with absolutely the best in the industry. And I think certainly from a European land-based casino perspective, the ECA is made up of all of the influencers in that space. So having a formal relationship with that association enables us to ensure that either through the product mix, through the content, through our kind of strategic positioning of the show, that we have absolute access to people that live and breathe the gaming industry. We're passionate about doing that as an exhibition organizer, but we can't do that day in, day out. So we ensure we surround ourselves with that kind of degree or that caliber of individuals. So going back to my comment before about looking at how we operate the business and looking at what we've done in the past, the ECA were first on the team sheet. It's absolutely critical for us to maintain those strong relationships. And they're not the only relationship we have that kind of migrates all through other sectors, but they're certainly our very, very close friends. And we've enjoyed working with them all the way through. And certainly for me personally, they are fantastic to work with, right through to the associate members as well, that are always on hand for us to sense check an idea or to sense check some creative campaign. And we give an example, we sense checked the More campaign with that portion of the industry before we launched it to kind of gauge their opinions and see what their thoughts were, and we got feedback from that, and that's how we use them. And I guess other initiatives that are similar to that would be our ICE Ambassadors program. So we built that up over the last 2-3 years, and again, that's making sure we've got experts that sit within all corners of the globe, but all corners of the sector. So we have representation from everything. And I bring this group of professionals together, half a dozen times a year, sometimes in person, sometimes digitally, just to really use as a sounding board to check we're going in the right direction and we're doing the right things. And as I said at the very beginning, we are a platform. We are a vehicle for the industry to connect, for the industry to develop and learn and set new goals and boundaries. And we take a lot of responsibility for that. So surrounding ourselves with the people that are doing that, driving that, the industry forward in that way, we need to make sure that ICE is the right platform, done in the right way, in the right tone, at the right temperature. And we surround ourselves with those experts and we allow them the opportunity to feel part of the extended team. And we're much richer for that.
Certainly, certainly. Well, Stuart, that's all I had for you today. Thank you so much again for taking the time. This has been great. Please tell everyone at the Clarion team happy holidays from me as well as the rest of the GGB team. Hopefully, you know, possibly next time I see and talk to you, we'll be in London at the show. Woo! Yes.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. You'll be leaving sadly the sort of sunny weather of Los Angeles, but hopefully London's good to you. The last few editions of ICE actually, they've been blue sky, a little bit chilly, but nice blue sky. So we're hoping for a crisp February event, so that'll be good. But yeah, same for us. Send all our love to GGB. We're big fans, and we'll hope to see you at the event in February. But before then, have a great Christmas.
You as well. Thanks again.
Thank you for joining us on this GGB podcast sponsored by Pavilion Payments. Pavilion Payments is the gaming industry's biggest vertically integrated payment provider, offering solutions that create a simple, secure, and more effective way for patrons to wager and fund their play. Learn more about the full suite of gaming solutions available at pavilionpayments.com. To learn more about Stuart, Clarion Gaming, and all the important issues in gaming, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss an episode of the GGB podcast by subscribing on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.